Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, and it is good to be back with you again on another Blog Talk Radio broadcast. And I am your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson. And with me again today in the studio is my lovely, priceless princess, my wife, Marla J. Robinson.
Good morning to our listeners. I love you. God bless you. It's so good to be with you again today.
And we are excited.
Yes, we are.
About what Jesus is doing in and through you and us right now. Amen. He is doing a great thing. And guess what? He's loving you through us.
Yes.
Right now. And we can use a double adjective. We want to just put all the emphasis that we can on the fact that we are very excited about what Jesus is doing in the earth.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. On the last Blog Talk Radio broadcast, we were talking about Hebrews chapter 6, one of the most controversial scriptures in this Bible, one of the most. And it has been so much talked about because it's dealing with believers.
Yes.
And the believers are the ones that this Hebrew writer is targeting. Now, I know that some of you think that he was mentioning this particular passage on a lot of occasions. We got four kind of different views that are major. But basically, he was writing to the believer here. All the scriptures actually are to the believers.
Amen.
But those of us who are not believers, we want you to become believers.
Yes.
But though, if you are not a believer today, our objective, if you're listening to this Blog Talk Radio broadcast, is not just for you to hear this, but to hear it by faith and receive it and let it bring salvation into your life.
Yes.
That is our objective. If you are not born again, if you are a believer, we have come today to lift you up, to edify you, and to bring you to a place where God is pleased with both you and me, and that we can do the work that he has assigned us to do in these last days.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now we're going to go back into the scripture. We stopped, and I told you last week that we were going to start back dealing with the position of this person that he's talking about, the believer. We're going to talk about the position of the believer. Now, last week we discussed a little bit about the word perfection and what it really entails here in this passage of scripture. And my wife so eloquently shared it last week, and I want her to share it again with you, the real definition of what the scriptures and the Hebrew writer is saying here in this particular passage of scripture, and we'll go from there.
Yes, again, that word perfection in the Greek means teleotes, which also means being fully developed or mature. And the maturity at this particular time that the scripture is speaking of concerns people going on and not just continually staying in the same state they were in when they first received Jesus Christ as their Savior, but developing and understanding and going on to move forward to understand more of what the Word of God tells them about how they're supposed to live, what they're supposed to do, as well as particularly how to be able to love one another in godliness.
Yes, and the perfection is not just it's a maturity also in the respect of the writer's conveying to us a place in God. We talked about a place last week, and this is very important for us because the place that we're talking about is the very thing that you and I are achieving or obtaining to do in the body of Christ. And
All right. That
is to move forward
Yes. In
things that pertain to life and godliness and not remain in the same place stagnated. Listen,
Yes. God
does not desire for us to be stagnated. He does not desire for us to be complacent. He does not desire for us not to mature or to move forward. We talked about it last week. And I think the last illustration I used as we were getting to, we talked about these areas. We talked about going on to perfection, leaving. We talked about that place of laying on hands or the laying again to the foundations of repentance from dead works in verse 1. Either the faith towards God
Yes. Or
the doctrines of baptism or the laying on of hands. Or the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. We talked about a little bit about that. And we can't just hang around and camp out there.
That's right. This is
what the Hebrew writer is saying. You know, it's been so much controversy in the body of Christ concerning these areas. Some of them are ordinances and some of them are practices that we use in the body of Christ to do certain things in the government of Christ. But the Hebrew writer here is saying, don't hang out there. Don't get stuck there. Don't be complacent
Amen. Here.
Because what this has done to you and me as believers, it has basically divided us. And that's why we have so many denominations today. It's because we are divided over schools of thought about certain areas. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have a right to have a thought about or either a opinion about a thing.
That's right. I'm saying,
what is the word of God saying? And what is God really saying about this thing? What is he really conveying to us as he writes to us and speaks to us out of the writing of the Spirit? So now here we go. We're going into the word again. In verse 3, it says, and this will we do if God will permit. Now listen, you know, God is not, he's not desirous of us staying in this area. And he's not desirous of us obtaining a certain place of immaturity. He wants us to move forward.
That's right.
He wants us to change our life. So if we're headed in the wrong direction, what the Hebrew writer is saying here is, this would we do if God would permit. He said, because we're headed in the wrong direction, God says, wait a minute, stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to keep going this way. I want you to stop now. I don't want you to continue to flow in this arena because this is not the place where I desire for you to obtain. And the Bible also tells us that we should be moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. That is the perfection
Yes. That
God wants. He wants us to continue to mature in things that pertain to life and godliness.
Oh, yes. Our Father God has a purpose and a plan for our lives, which is perfection or maturity. Through the study and obedience of his word, of the word of God, we don't just go B-U-Y a Bible. We don't just go buy a Bible, but we go B-Y. We go buy the Bible. Maturity is attained, which also means to grow, increase, or gain by personal surrender to God, who alone accomplishes, and another word or definition for accomplish means to perfect us in his word.
Now listen, you know, he said we would do that if God would permit. But now this is the important thing. We're not going to allow this to continue to go on. So God says in the verse from 4 through 6, if you read that particular chapter of Hebrews chapter 6, you'll see that it says, for it is impossible for this man or this person to again, which is fallen away, if they shall fall away, the word is saying. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they, verse 6 says, shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, listen, to themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now, listen, We have four major views on this particular passage of Scripture.
All right.
And one of them says, some suppose that these verses refer to the saved who have fallen from salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second teaches that these are professing Christians, though unsaved. Now, how can you be a professing Christian and unsaved? Well, that's a controversy as well. Who apostate are forever unable to be brought to repentance and true saving faith. Now, that's another view. A third view is some groups propose that these are indeed saved people who do not fall from salvation, but who fall into sin.
Uh-huh.
They call it a backslidden state.
All right.
And the fourth is, and this is the most popular one, states that these verses refer to the hypocritical salvation whereby the author stresses what would happen to a saved person if they were to fall away. Now listen, I've done extensive research throughout the years. I've done extensive research for 30-something years.
All right.
On this particular passage of Scripture.
Uh-huh.
And I've studied everybody's school of thought. And I've looked at it for what it is. And I came to tell you today that those schools of thoughts are not what the Hebrew writer is conveying here. What the Hebrew writer is conveying here is, first of all, let me clear up the fact that you cannot be lost if you're saved.
That's right.
You cannot be an unsaved Christian.
That's right.
Because you said you're professing to be.
Amen.
Either you are a Christian or you're not.
Well, you're not.
Let me just close that out.
Uh-huh.
Thirdly, if you are dealing with sin situations, listen, we have a corrupt nature on the inside of us. And Paul said, I would be like this every day. He said, but every day I get up, he says, I have to renew my body.
Yeah.
He said, after I preach to others, lest I be a castaway.
Uh-huh.
In other words, Paul says, if I die daily to the things of this world.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I have made the statement once, I want to be as far away from this world as I can without leaving it.
All right.
And I simply mean that I want to be able to operate in God's things concerning this world, but not be entangled with the affairs of this world, as Paul told Timothy. Now, verse 4, 5, and 6, the last thought on this one is, I told you the fourth popular thought is, and let me just talk about this one right here. It's hypocritical. It refers to a hypocritical situation. You know, either you are, and I'm going to say this one more time. One of the things that has turned the world off more than anything about us as a believing camp is hypocrisy.
Yes, sir.
They cannot understand for the life of them why we're so hypocritical in the body of Christ. But that's not an
Amen.
Indictment against us to say that we're not saved.
That's right. That's right.
It's not an indictment to say that you're not born again. It's not an indictment to say that you are not God's child.
That's
what it
right.
says is that you are, at this particular point in your life, living a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you're not saved. Just like a prophet who prophesied. There are prophets who prophesy, and there are some who as we used to say, a lie. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean that he is a lying prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you tell one lie doesn't mean that you lie all the time.
That's right.
Because you commit one sin doesn't mean that you are a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And see, these are the things that we've been caught up in the body of Christ in. We have been snared by this. And these are the things that have held us from understanding God's perfection, his maturity to us as believers. Now listen, the writer here is conveying to us, and I believe that through study, he's not conveying immaturity. Well, let me put it this way to you. He's not speaking about immaturity or insecurity.
All right.
Listen, he's not speaking about being insecure about your salvation. He's talking about being immature about your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference.
Yes.
We have security in Christ. Listen, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
If that blood was not the perfect sacrifice
and
the perfect offering for you and me, then I just might as well let this mic, we should shut this microphone down.
All right.
And we should tell you and all the other believers not to listen to us anymore, because the blood of Jesus has once and for all cleansed us from all sin and unrighteousness. And when we accept that, we are in the body of Christ. Now,
yes.
we're gonna deal with these other things in another episode. We don't have time today to talk about all of that. But what he's saying here is he's not talking about your insecurity in salvation. He's talking about our immaturity.
Yes.
Also, he deals with, as we move forward, he's going to deal with our trust in the promises of God.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh,
talking
yes.
about our father, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not talking about here, as in verse, when we go into verse 6 and 7, he's talking about maturing unto blessing and not degenerating unto cursing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. He's talking about us maturing. See, and he uses an illustration as we go down in here, and we're going to talk about this. He uses the illustration of a farmer. Anybody who tills the ground knows that if you don't cultivate it,
all right,
it is not going to bring forth good fruit.
That's right.
If you don't do the right things to your ground, if you don't do the right things to that ground, and I used to farm, and I can tell you that it calls for a lot of things. You've got, first of all, we do our part. We do all of the breaking of the ground. We do the harrowing of the ground, which is to straighten it out and get it lined up. And then we do the planting, making rows where
yeah.
we plant them so we can lift trenches and stuff on the side. That's our part. We put
mm-hmm.
we put in the seed into the soil.
Yeah.
Now the soil is God's soil.
Mm-hmm.
His part is to give us rain,
mm-hmm.
to give us sunshine,
yes, sir.
And to give us profitable climate for that plant to grow.
Yes. Oh yes.
That's called cultivating it. That's called keeping it so it can mature. We're talking about a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
What God is talking about here for you and me is he's saying to us, if we don't cultivate what he has given us, then we are not going to mature.
That's right.
And if any land that lies dormant is going to grow weeds, not only do you have to cultivate it, but you have to keep the weeds out.
That's it.
And we have a favorite saying that we have among our friends and ourselves. When we start talking about things that don't pertain to life and godliness, we said, you need to get out of the weeds.
All right. That's our brother
Tim and Penny Fuller down in Tampa, Florida. Say,
yeah.
Look, you got to get out of the weeds.
Get out the
because
weeds.
Now it's time to do some weeding here. You,
yeah.
You're getting into the weeds and we're not being cultivated.
That's
and
right.
Weeds come and choke us out.
Yes, yes.
It
oh,
kills
yes.
the plant. Okay, I'm getting carried away here.
I love it. But, you know, it's just even a part of the foundational principles of the Bible and just for us to regularly understand as he just walked and talked us through fundamentally what we do, what's being done when you're putting a seed in the ground, when you're cultivating that, trying to get that seed cultivated to bring up a crop, to bring up something that's edible, something that's tangible. It's the same. And then with the Word of God, we don't fall away from the foundational principles and abandon those things that we understand and that we've learned in the past. We allow those things to grow and to embed and to bloom up and to come out of us, to influence other people's hearts to righteousness. The Psalm 34 and 8, I think about the planting of the seed and cultivating. It just reminds me of, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we taste, when we partake, when we totally receive the understanding of his word, then it helps us to continue on in the Father's love for us as well as for others around us so that we can spiritually grow and develop and extend and grow up and to just be more and more of what God called us to be and to help spread that good news of salvation, of eternal life to others in Christ Jesus.
Now listen, at verse 7, we're going to talk about this again because we moved into it. He says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. Listen.
Yes.
If you're not receiving blessings in your life today, and you've been in the body of Christ 5, 10, 15, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
it's because of what the Hebrew writer is saying here. Instead of us being maturing, instead of us maturing unto blessing, we're degenerating unto cursing.
All right.
That is what he is talking about. We should be getting, we should be becoming more and more and more like Christ. We should be getting better and better each and every day. This is what he's saying. When you plant crops after a period of time, you become professional about it.
Yes.
You can perfect it. You can just about know when, if you got an almanac, you can know when the climate's going to be here, the climate's going to be there. You're going to need, you need to know when you're going to, what's going to plant. What you need to plant here in this season, what you need to plant in that season.
That's right.
You need to know what ground is going to produce what here, a better product or harvest, and that ground produces the harvest. This soil produces that. And this is what the writer is talking about. What kind of soil do you have today?
Yeah.
How has the word of God enriched you? Has it fallen upon good ground? We know the story. Some fell by, some on good ground.
Yes, sir.
Some fell by the wayside.
Some
fell upon
thorns.
And some fell about
on good ground.
Yes. So listen, are we wayside? Are we rock?
Yes.
Are we thorns? Are we thistles? Are we good ground? Some fell by the wayside, some fell by the rock, some fell among thorns, and some fell among good ground. So what ground are we today? After all these years, what ground have we been producing? What ground have we, as a believer, how has God been able to deal with us and to cultivate us and to make us? Listen, I told you last week, two of my favorite passages of scriptures in the book of Philippians, 1 and 6 says this, being confident, and I'm going to say this again, I love this passage, being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then in Philippians 2 and 13 says, listen, you don't have to worry about doing this by yourself. You see, sometimes we think that we are doing this salvation walk alone.
Yes, alone.
But we're not doing it by ourselves. Listen, for the Hebrew writer, the writer in Philippians says, for it is God, in verse 2 and 13, which worketh in you.
Yes.
And me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God's pleasure to cultivate us.
Mm-hmm.
It is God's pleasure to give us the rain as needed in our lives.
Yes.
Rain means blessing, as we as we locked into the inauguration here at the beginning of the of this year, on the 20th of this year, bringing in a new president-elect, Donald Trump.
Yes, 20th of January. Yes, sir.
As he stood on, as he began to approach the podium to make his speech of acceptance as being the president of the 45th one of the United States of America, a gentle rain came.
Yes.
And when he finished, when Dr. Billy Graham's son began to get up and share, he said, Mr. President, I want to tell you that rain signifies blessings.
Yes.
And here in the 7th verse of chapter 6, it says, the rain which falleth out upon it, that the herbs of meat for whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God.
Oh, yes.
The rain has come to bless us.
Yes, sir.
And God says, I want to rain on your life. He says, but I don't want to rain. I don't want to give you a storm. I want to give you a moderate to gentle rain where you can produce and bring forth fruit. Verse 8 said, but that which beareth thorns and bears is rejected.
Yes.
And
yes,
thorns and briars always bring about rejection in a crop because they smother it out.
Yes,
they
sir.
Come to take up territory.
All
they
right.
come to take up ground that the seed is trying to become nourished out of. Do you have thorns and briars in your life?
All right.
Do you have places in your life that the word cannot be germinated? Where the word is not being getting its full nourishment.
Lord Jesus.
The writer is saying here, what are you going through? Listen, he says that you're rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned.
Mm.
Now see, somebody says, well, he's going to hell. No, that's not what this is implying here.
That's right.
All right. What is it replying really, preacher? It's replying our works.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will bring you all of the passages of Scripture, but I want to tell you this. That some of our works are going to be tried. All of our works are going to be tried by fire. Some hay, some wood, some stubble.
Yes.
And what he's saying is, you're going to be saved. That's not even a question. That's not even the question. But are your works, will your works stand the fire in the day of judgment?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Will they be like gold and come out purified?
Mm.
Or will they be hay, wood, and stubble? And somebody says, well, you know, I've done all these things. And that's why the Bible says in the last day, the sun will go stand before and say, didn't we prophesy in your name? And then we do this and we do that. And that's another passage of Scripture. But what we are dealing with is, will your works maintain and stand in the place of God in judgment for him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm. That's just like the Scripture that you were previously talking about. And he was looking at me, you know, for me to remind him. And I was like, okay. It was the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
And we can find that in Luke chapter 8. Verse 8, and even it goes on down, and the part that I want to deal with is coming out of the Amplified Bible that gives us the meaning of the parable. In that verse 11, it says, now the meaning of this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those along the travel path or road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts that they may not believe. And then those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, receive it and welcome it with joy. But these have no roots. So they believe for a while, and then in time of trials and temptations, they fall away or they withdraw from what they heard. And as for those that fell among the thorns or the briars, these are the people who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and the cares of this life and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And their fruit does not ripen or come to maturity, as we're speaking about, which another word for maturity that we're dealing with is or perfection. But as for those whose seeds fall on good soil or on good ground, these are the people who hear the word and they hold fast to it. They know that it is just and it is worthy, and they store it, they keep it in their heart, and they steadily bring forth fruit with patience. And let patience have its perfect or perfection or maturity in their lives.
And the perfect work there. That's what he says. And let patience have its perfect work. And this is what the writer is conveying here. Because he begins to talk about Father Abraham. Look, we got a minute and 30 seconds. I tell you, it looks like time just flies.
Yeah.
Maybe by the we're gonna do one more broadcast on this as we close it out. And please come back and listen to us. Because we have much to say about this. But I want to tell you today that this is the writer's conveying. He's conveying to us Father Abraham.
Yes.
He's at the end of this conversation. And we're going to talk about this next week. Perfection in waiting.
Yes.
Are you ready for that?
Praise
Thank you,
God. Jesus.
We're going to shout the victory
Hallelujah.
As we move forward in the things that pertain to patience in the Lord. So
yes, Lord.
I asked the question today, whose report will you believe? We shall believe what?
The report of the Lord. Thank you.
name. And Jesus is loving you through us right now.